the Lord. Greetings, brothers and sisters, saints and friends. Welcome to another episode of Esther 414, Hadassah Speaks. I am your host, Hadassah, coming to the kingdom for such a time as this. Happy Resurrection Sunday to you and to yours. Thank you so much for listening. That song is He Is Alive by Eddie James. And that is why we wake up today to celebrate this glorious Sunday morning, because Jesus is alive. And because He is alive, you and I can have eternal life. As we know, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. And God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. And we know that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So thank you once again for tuning in. I hope you have plans of going and celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ this Sunday morning. But if not, this podcast, you'll get a little bit of glimpse into the crucifixion through the Word of God to help you appreciate just what the Lord did for us when He was crucified. But first, I want to start with Luke chapter 24. Let's start with the victory first. So we're going to go with Luke chapter 24, starting at verse 1. It says, now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. When they went into the burial cave, they were unable to find the body of Jesus. But Jesus had already told them that He was going to rise again. And so they went looking for the body to put spices on it, and it was not there. Verse 4. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? Why seek ye the living among the dead? Why are you looking for someone that is alive out here where dead people are? Verse 6, He is not here, but is risen. Remember how He spake unto you when He was yet in Galilee. He told you, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. So He is not here, but is risen. And thank God that Jesus rose from the dead. Because if He had not risen, there would be no eternal life for me and you. It would have made Him a liar, and that He was the Son of God, and that He had the power to lay down His life and to take it up again. It would have made Him a liar for Him to say that He is the resurrection. But we know that God is not a man that He should lie. And so because Jesus rose on that third day, He lives. Because He lives, you and I can have eternal life too. We can have that hope, that trust in the fact that if we receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we will one day live again. I shouldn't say one day. I should say that we will live. That when we die, when we transition from this natural life, that we enter into eternity as live beings, live souls, live spirits. So I wanted to go back because the last episode I was talking about Judas and how Judas betrayed the Lord. But yet God was still in control. Yet Jesus was still in control. Because he came for a purpose. And the purpose that he came for is so that he could share the Lord's, share his Father's heart with us. And to die for the sins of men. And to just give us a hope in eternal life through his very own resurrection. So let us go into, I want to go back to Matthew and talk when Jesus was arrested and tried by the Jewish council and found guilty. And then sent to the governor Pilate for a sentence. So I want to pick it up where he is talking to Pilate. I'm going to go to Matthew 27, and I'm going to start at the first verse, but I'm going to jump around and not go through all of it. So we will just jump around. It's a very long chapter. So verse 1, when the morning was come, now this is after Jesus was arrested, Judas betrayed him with that kiss. When the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Now then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders. As I mentioned in the previous episode, he was going to have a change of heart, realize what he did, and want to go and give the money back. But here we see that they don't take the money back. Verse 4, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. That I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to it. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. Remember what Jesus said. Woe unto that man. Woe unto that man that betrays him. It's better that he were not born. So we see the end of Judas here in verse 27, but they would not take the money back. So we're going to go on over and jump down to verse 11. And Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, are you the king of the Jews? Are you the king of the Jews? And Jesus said unto him, thou sayest, you sayest. See, Jesus didn't have to prove to them. When I read that line, thou sayest, that means it's up to you. How do you see it? See, Jesus already knew who he was, but here is throwing it back at Pilate. You're saying it. See, we cannot say that Jesus is Lord unless the Holy Spirit gives that to us. We're not going to recognize him as Lord unless the Holy Spirit is giving that to us. And in this case, Jesus is throwing it back on Pilate as if to say, you're saying it. And he'll throw it back on us. What do you say? What do you say to each and every single one of us? Who is Jesus? Or is he the king of the Jews to us? Is he the king of and Lord of our lives? Thou sayest. You have to say it. See, it don't matter what I say. Do you see me as the king? Do you see me as Lord? Do you see me as the Son of God? It has to come off of your lips. Remember, when we repent, we have to call. When we ask the Lord into our hearts, it has to come from our own confession. That he is Lord. It has to be you say it. Let me keep going. And when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee? And he answered him to never a word. Insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. He wasn't defending himself. He wouldn't even entertain the lies that were being spoken about him. Because once again, he had come for this purpose. He was already aware of the different things that were going to happen. He had to suffer these things. He had to suffer them. Now, verse 15, At that feast of now at that feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. So at the feast, the governor would release a prisoner to the people who was just out of the goodness of his heart, let them go. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? On the one hand, you have a murderer. On the other hand, you have a life giver. On the one hand, you have the guilty. On the other hand, you have the innocent. So people, which one would you like me to release, to let go today? Verse 17, Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. So from the beginning, Pilate has listened to what was the accusations. He's watched Jesus. He's listened to him. And he's watched the way he's responded. And he wants to release him because he believes that this man is innocent. And he's saying, these people just brought him here to me. These Jewish folks brought him here to me. These Jewish leaders brought them to me because they're jealous. There's envy here. When he had sat down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. So now you've heard Judas come back and say, I've betrayed this man innocent, called Jesus innocent. And now his wife has had a dream and she realizes that Jesus is a just man, not worthy of what's going on at this point. Verse 20, But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus, an innocent man who has done nothing but heal, deliver, and set free. That is what Jesus is on trial for. But we know that that's not what he's on trial for. He's on trial because they are envious of him. Verse 21. The governor answered and said unto them, Whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Barabbas. He asked it again. Because he is in disbelief that these people are shouting for the life of Jesus Christ and taking the guilty, the murderer, over Jesus Christ. Now, we all know that the devil comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He destroys. With him is destruction. And today, there are people choosing Jesus, the Barabbas of today. They're choosing Satan, the devil, the Barabbas of today. The one that destroys, the one that steals, the one that kills, the murderer. The murderer, he was a liar and a murderer from the beginning of time. And this is the one that they're choosing. And even today, people are choosing Barabbas. They're choosing to reject the life giver, and they're choosing Satan, the liar, the thief, the murderer. Verse 22, Pilate saith unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? If you want to take this one, the murderer, the liar, the thief, well, what am I going to do with this just man? What should I do with the innocent man that stands before me? And what did they all say in verse 22? They all say unto him, they all say, all the folks that's out there, all of these people, the priests, the chief priests and elders and other people, they all say unto him, let him be crucified. Let him be crucified. And the governor said, Why? What evil have he done? Jesus had only done good. Good. But these people were so, these were the chief priests and the elders that know the word. They knew the scriptures. And here they are sending Jesus, who had done good, who had taught in the synagogues, who had healed, done nothing but good. And they nonchalantly say, crucify him, kill him, just kill an innocent man. Verse 24, when Pilate saw that he could not prevail nothing, that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hand before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just man. See you to it. Then answered all the people and said, his blood be on us and on our children. His blood be on us and on our children. They were okay with it, but they didn't understand at that time the words, the meaning, and the life that were in the words that they had said. The blood of Jesus is on our hands and on the hands of our children. And we know that to be true today. Now, people don't like when you use and say that this people are responsible for the death of Jesus Christ. They don't like when you say it, but it's right here in the scriptures. And we cannot deny what the scripture says. They rejected Jesus Christ. They rejected their own. They rejected who they had been reading about all of their lives. They did not recognize him as the Lord. They did not recognize him as the Son of God. They were so caught up in their flesh that they lacked discernment for who he was. Verse 26, then released he the murderer. He released Barabbas unto them. He released the murderer, the thief, the liar, unto them, to the chief priests and the elders. And now he's releasing them on, really, if you think about it, the murder, the murdering, the thievery is a part of their legacy because of their mouth. Then answered all the people and said, his blood, the blood of Jesus, be on us and on our children. And so all of the things that happened over the years, result of the mouth, the word that they put out on over to have Jesus destroyed or crucified. Verse 27, then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. And we know what happened there. They stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, hail, King of the Jews. And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. So he had been lied on, he was mocked, he was spat upon, all for you and for me, for the sins, our sins, because he was innocent. He was innocent. He did not know any sin. But yet he walked through this. He endured this for you and for me, so that we would know that he is the Son of God. So yes, he gave up the ghost on the cross. He gave it up. And they thought that they had the victory. Once he gave up the ghost, they thought they had the victory. But let's talk about what happened to help them see what actually was going on. So I'm going to skip all the way over to verse 46. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, "This man calleth for Elias." And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, let us see whether Elias will come to save him. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in two from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake and the rocks rent. As soon as Jesus died on that cross, you got an earthquake, you got the veil of the temple splitting, and the graves were opened, verse 52, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. Bodies of the saints. Now, there were other people who had died. They were not saints, but the bodies of the saints came out of the grave. Let that sink in. Saints, the righteous people, when Jesus died, they lived again. When Jesus died on the cross, when he gave up the ghost, dead believers, dead righteous, dead holy people got up out of their graves and lived again. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. They came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. If that ain't a sign, I don't know what is. Jesus died. The graves opened. Because see, now we can have life. If Jesus had not died, there would have been no redemption. If he had not died, we'd still be in our sins. We would not have been forgiven for our sins. But if he had not risen, oh, there would be no resurrection for us. There would be no eternal life. Because the very crux of our religion, of our faith, is the resurrection. Not that Jesus died, but that he lives. That he is alive, because it was a witness by multitudes of people, his death. There's no mistaking that he was killed, that he died, that he was crucified. They saw it with their own eyes. And then after he rose, there were witnesses that he's alive. And so there's no denying that that is the Son of the living God. There's no denying that he is the Son of the living God because of those things that transpired. So that's why we say, because he lives, we can live. That's why we rejoice that he is alive. Because if he was still in the grave, everything that we do in this life as believers would be in vain. It would be for nothing. There'll be nothing, no hope to be had. But because Jesus lives, it gives us hope, hallelujah, that we too will live again. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Jesus saw, let me go back, Lord have mercy, I got caught up right there. But verse 54, now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, "Truly, this was the Son of God." So even before he comes out of the grave, simply by what they witnessed when he died, the earthquake, the veil splitting, just that alone made them believe, hey, wait a minute. This wasn't just no ordinary man. This had to be the Son of the living God. Because look how the elements are responding. Look how they're responding to him giving up the ghost. And many women were there, beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him, among which was Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's children. When the even was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph,
who also himself was Jesus' disciple. He went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulcher and departed. And there was Mary Magdalene and the mother, the other Mary, sitting over against the sepulcher. So you have Jesus in the tomb with a stone in front of it. And Mary Magdalene and the others, they're sitting over by it. Now the next day that followed, the day of the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, "Sir, we remember that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days, I will rise again. Command therefore that the sepulchre be made sure unto the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away." So they're worried. They said, you know what? This liar, that's what they're calling Jesus, claimed that he's going to rise on the third day. So I need you to put a guard out there so that his disciples don't come and steal the body if it don't happen. And they didn't believe that it was going to happen. So they want to make sure that there's no lie that can be told where they say that Jesus rose. So let's go ahead and cover and guard the body so they don't come and steal it and hide it somewhere and claim that he rose. Verse 65, Pilate said unto them, "Ye have a watch. Go your way. Make it as sure as you can." So they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. But we already know that that did not keep Jesus from rising on the third day, because the stone was rolled away by an angel, if you go to verse 28, and Jesus' body was not there. And that's what we read in Luke, that the stone was rolled away and the angel asked them, "Why are you looking for the living among the dead? Because he's not here. He is risen." So praise God for this word of God today. Praise God for this Resurrection Sunday. But most of all, praise the Father, the Most High, for his Son, Jesus the Christ, King of the Jews, Lord of Lords, King of Kings, and our resurrection. Enjoy your Sunday, enjoy the rest of your week, and until next time, grace and peace.